While you're standing, please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come like a fire that burns. Come like the wind that blows. Fill us with a true sense of faith. Help us to go forth into the world to be peace unto those that we meet. And we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The Gospel of John was written in about AD 85. That was a considerable number of years after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And it was written at a time when Christians were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus, the Son of God. John wrote the gospel not only for his own Christian community, but also for all Christians everywhere, and obviously for all times, for you and for me. He wrote it to deal with their fears and their sufferings, and to strengthen their faith. And it was a way to restore life in them. And it is in this context that I want to examine our gospel reading this morning. Now, it's written that the disciples, they had come together in the upper room. They had locked the door. They were scared of the Jews. And in the midst of all their fears, Jesus came and he stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." They were the first words of the resurrected Jesus to his disciples. We know that when Jesus says something, it becomes a reality. He has the power to change our lives. And those words, "Peace be with you," they would have had a calming effect upon the disciples. You see, they were healing words, comforting words. They are words that are the fruit of forgiveness and also of restored relationships. After Jesus had comforted them, he showed them his hands, and he showed them his side. And then what he does is, again, he tells them peace. Now, the world would have been uncomfortable, and that probably was uncomfortable for them also, because remember, they had abandoned their trust in Jesus. You see, this was a time when their fears robbed them of life and left them with guilt. And that moment of remembrance in the upper room was short-lived as Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." Those simple words turned their fear into great joy. It turned their guilt. Remember, they ran away in the garden. They all left Jesus. But all of that's forgiven. All of that is forgotten by the simple words, "Peace be with you." They had received forgiveness through the giving of the peace. And then when Jesus showed them his hands and his side, it also meant that he had overcome death and that there is life after death. Jesus revealed himself as the Lord of eternal life for everyone. His appearance in the upper room gave them the encouragement and the confidence to step out of their fear into life with him. And his presence in the midst and the giving of peace turned their fear into joy. And like the disciples, my friends, we too have fears, various kinds of fears that keep us locked away from life. Through fear, we can make wrong decisions in our life that can lead us into further pain. Sometimes decisions made in fear are made because of the lack of faith in Jesus and his promise of life for all of us. We all have various fears. All of us. As For some, it may be talking to people, a fear of public speaking, a fear of talking about Jesus to others, a fear for the well-being of our children, a fear in saying sorry, a fear of cancer, a fear of pain and death, fear in starting something new, fear of financial loss and insecurity. And then, of course, there are the numerous phobias of snakes, spiders, elevators, and so on. Father Pete will never fail to remind me he does not like snakes. He is petrified of snakes. We have so many trees on our property. He avoids them as much as he can because he has such a fear of snakes. Well, the list is endless in the things that inhibit us from a fulfilled life that kind of rob us of the peace. And in the words of his disciples, Jesus also says to you, "Peace be with you." Jesus continued and said to his disciples in the upper room, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Again, the words, "Peace be with you." They prepare us to receive the Holy Spirit. Our relationship that's been blemished by our own unfaithfulness has been restored by Jesus' going the way of the cross and his resurrection and ascension. He has forgiven us our sins and continues daily to forgive us all. He forgives all that come into our world who turn to him for forgiveness. See, we're prepared through his word to receive the Holy Spirit. And in our very own Anglican Catholic Communion Mass, the peace is said before the priest or the deacon distributes the bread and the cup through which we receive the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as Jesus has prepared us and given us the Holy Spirit, we can go out from our own locked rooms of fear and go out in peace and in joy and in the life of Jesus Christ. He has come to us in the midst of our fears and he restores us to life. And in like manner, he calls us to go and to do the same. We can go out and bring peace into people's lives. There are people among us in our families, friends, neighbors, who have various spiritual, emotional, and physical sufferings, while others amongst us have the scars to show that they have risen from it and they now have a new life. I never really understood that statement when I've been sober now for 28 years. And when I first started attending my AA meetings, they tell you to do 90 meetings in 90 days. So I found a home group and I went and did all my meetings. And I continued to go to home group for a good number of years and then I stopped. And then sometime later, a friend who also was a state trooper and was in recovery in Myrtle Beach said to me, "You still go to meetings?" And I said, "No." "Deacon Dan, why?" "You need to continue to go to meetings because your story of recovery, your story is important for those that are starting their journey." And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said you need to take this peace and take it out to people that are suffering. You've experienced it. Now you've experienced this fear. He's telling his disciples, "You have this peace, now take it out. Help them to overcome their fears." You see, because people need to see and to hear that there is life after pain and suffering. The Paralympics, I think, is a good example and witness of people with disabilities who have scars to show, and yet they've risen above them in life and they compete. And I watch them sometimes, and how do they do it? But they rise above it. They would be an encouragement for many who suffer similar tragedies. And likewise, Christians who have struggled and grown in their faith need to share their experience so that others who are silently suffering and doubting in their faith in Jesus can be helped and rise once more into life with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all have desert moments. We all have those dry periods in our life. God expects them. But then he gives us what we need and we get out of them. And we need to share those desert experiences. We need to take those dry moments and to share with people. When I was living in Myrtle Beach, I was a chaplain at Myrtle Beach Manor. And I asked the woman, because I used to go every Wednesday and do a prayer service. And I said, "I need your prayers. The sinner needs your prayers." "Oh, Deacon Dan, you're not a sinner." And I said, "What, because I have this collar on? Oh, Satan loves me even more. He loves nothing more." I said, "Yes, I do need your prayers." And so, yes, we need to be peace to one another. We need to be witness to one another. We need to be able to go out and to share that. Jesus continues and says, "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And in the context of the gathered disciples in the upper room and the grace of Jesus in the midst of them, then those who have scars to show are called out to go and to forgive, to provide healing, and to give peace to all in need so that they may have life. I often think of family members that are called at sentencing, where maybe the convicted person is going to be sentenced, and their loved, the convicted has taken the life of a loved one. I'm always overcome with the compassion of family members that stand there with tears in their eyes and forgive the person who has taken their loved one from them. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. That's what he calls us to do. It's through the giving of peace to others that we prepare ourselves to receive the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of the saving grace that Jesus has provided for them. But for those who cannot forgive, then it is impossible for them to give peace. Why? Because they need peace themselves. You can't give peace until you have peace yourself. You just can't do it. In closing, we remember that although Jesus was the innocent victim of our sins, yet he rose above it, not seeking justice or vengeance, but instead gave us peace with him. He died on that cross for our sins. And what did he say before he gave up his spirit? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. I like to think that there was some sense of peace and calm. We certainly know that there was for the centurion that fell to his knees and realized at that moment that this man dying on this cross was his Lord and Savior. He knew that. And it had to bring a sense of peace and comfort to him. I also like to think that he took that peace and comfort and went out to spread that gospel message. And so I ask, can we do the same? And finally, and in the words of Jesus, I say to all of you, peace be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.